Good morning. Hey, that works. Good. Well, last week we started on to the first wounds that we're going to be discussing this year. Five wounds that men deal with and need to deal with, and it was the father wound. And it is the most prevalent, and it's the most intense, and it's the one that we must look at and deal with. Some of you might say, well, I don't understand that. It's not something that means a lot to me. Others of you say, yeah, this is big. This is me. This is where I'm at. So today we want to continue with that. What you and I do as men with the wound that we received at the hands of our dad makes a tremendous difference in our lives. Some of us have the opportunity to pursue this because dad's still alive. Some of us don't because dad's gone. Some of us have no idea who this man is. He's that disconnected from our lives. Some of us are going to be seeing it from a different light. Some of us will be seeing it from the environment of what can I do with my son, from a father's perspective to a son, so they don't grow up with the same father wound that I dealt with. All of us are sons, and we all long for a right and correct type of relationship with our dads. We all long for it. It's there. There was a dad who, writing about his son's wedding, says this: at rehearsal, my son gave all the groomsmen swords with a cloth on it, with a family coat of arms, and words describing what they meant to him. Even the father-in-law got one, but not dad. And it caused interesting feelings inside because I wanted to play with the boys too. The next morning, my son handed me a letter. Dear Dad, I suppose you noticed that you didn't get a sword last night. Well, that's because princes don't give kings trinkets like that. Dad, I will not give you little gifts telling you we're brothers. I will give you my life telling you I'm your heir. The passion of your heart I will carry all my life, and that's my gift to you. I think all of us would long to hear those kind of words from our son, wouldn't we? Well, I was lying on the floor crying as I read that letter, and the question came to me, why had I reacted when I didn't get a sword last night? Why had I wanted one? And suddenly I realized that I wanted to be a son. And with this letter, my son had released me and said, just be a dad. Just be a father. Well, whether your father will ever become a father you desire or not, the reality is that you need to be a dad if you are a dad, and perhaps you will become one. And as a son, you only have to be concerned with one thing right now, and that is being connected to God as a son. And that's where we want to go, and we want to talk about this at the end of the teaching today. We want to continue to unload the suitcase, to dig down deep and into the pipe. Remember, we talked about the sewage pipe last week, and we want to get to the bottom of it. We want to find the clog. We want to deal with it. We want to dig it open so that everything works. The smell goes away. The problem goes away. Things work, and that's what we want to do. We want to uncover the content that the things that leave us wounded. Perhaps we've been wounded by a father that's been absent or uninvolved, uncaring, or unwhatever. Perhaps we've wounded our own sons, and that's a real possibility. I have to look at it from both perspectives, and I've had to deal with it from both perspectives. We need to begin the process of healing and fixing the wounds that are there. Here's a key, and that is that we live in a fallen world, men. We live in a fallen world. We all recognize that, and we interact every day with wounded and immature people, because we all have wounds, and all the people around us have wounds as well. Well, God's plan is for those wounds to be healed, to be dealt with, and for us to grow past them and grow into maturity. The more healed we become, and the more mature we become, the less we react to the wounds, or the less we react to those around us who are wounded and immature. Now, we're all wounded, and God wants us to heal. Because, you see, if we don't heal, it causes us to be wounded and immature. God wants us to heal and grow up and get past this and move on. There's an interesting fact that counselors run into and understand, and that's this. That at the age that a person experiences a wound, in talking with people, it's so fascinating to see this and to see what happens. But there's many people who I've talked with and deal with, and they're really dealing with father issues. They're really struggling big time. And what's interesting is you go back and you say, well, you know, what's your earliest memories of the pain and the hurt that was caused? And well, just recently, a gal said, well, you know, I was about 6, 8 years old. Well, here's an interesting fact. And I watched it over and over again. And that is, at the age of a wound, when it starts, or when it's evident, or when it's in a person's heart, whenever that wound gets bumped when you're an adult, you react at the same age where that wound is. Do you ever wonder why people get angry and act childish when you bump their wound? You might not even know that you're bumping their wound. But if you have a person who's wounded deeply at the age of 6 or 7 years old, or 14 or 15 years old, they're going to act like it. When you bump that wound, they're going to act like a 6 to 8-year-old or a 14 to 15-year-old. That's where that immaturity comes from. That's what we deal with. You see, we're wounded, and we deal with people who are wounded as well, and that makes us act immaturely. We act like kids when we get our wound bumped. Isn't that fascinating? That's a reality. That's why it's so important for us to deal responsibly with the wound and move on, so we quit acting like children and we grow up and we become men. Well, one of the things you don't want to do is you don't want to go around telling people they're wounded and immature. That's a good way to get hurt. And it also reveals our own immaturity. Understand rather that healed, mature people consistently act and speak with respect, with kindness, and with love, and with truthfulness. I'd like to repeat that because it's so important for us to understand. Healed, mature people consistently act and speak with respect, with kindness, with love, and truthfulness. It's when you find that the immature actions that you realize that people haven't healed from something that's in the background. Well, when our woundedness and immaturity comes to the surface, it tells other people where we're at. It tells other people what's going on in our lives or what we haven't dealt with. But what it should do is it should alert us to the fact that, hey, we have to deal something with it. It should alert us and say, hey, seek resolution. Seek genuine solutions to the problem. Find restitution. Move into restitution to those who we have hurt or to those that have hurt us. Well, we're in the process of seeking to make sense of why we are the way we are. The unexamined life is not worth living. Let's examine what's going on inside of us. Each of us has a story to tell. It's our story. It's our history. And history tells us things. You've probably heard the expression, what we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. Well, men, we want to learn from our history. We want to learn from what took place in the background. Not to blame, not to excuse, not to deny, but to look at it realistically, tell the truth about it. Each one of us, to some degree, is a product of the past. But we don't have to stay that way, men. In some ways, each of us is controlled by the past until we consciously and willfully choose to break out of that control. We must deal responsibly with the past, or the past will deal viciously with us. We must deliberately and consciously deal with it to examine the journey to authentic manhood. We won't get there without dealing with the past. We must own and accept responsibility for our response to the past. We didn't cause the past. Most of us didn't cause the past. We couldn't control what our dad did to us. Guess what we can do? We can control. We must own and accept responsibility for how we respond to what those people did to us. Just recently, I talked to a man, some of you would know, an older man, he's a minister, and as I was talking to him, he started telling me about the abusive relationship that he had with his dad. His dad would come in the middle of the night, and he says, Dad would walk past my bed while I was sleeping, when he was just 8, 10, 12 years old. And he says, Dad, for no reason at all, because he would come home drunk, he'd been out drinking, he'd come home and he'd just start beating on me, wake me, you know, I'd wake up feeling his blows. Can you imagine that? But he says, you know, and looking at him and watching him, I never would have guessed that he was dealing with responsibly with his past, and he was doing just fine. But you know what he told me? He says, I have a sister who he treated the same way. And my sister is totally withdrawn from society. She hasn't communicated with the family for years and years and years. You see, I chose to say, you know what, that's in the past. I have to give that to God, and I have to move on, and I have to deal with life responsibly. That was wisdom. That was right. But his sister couldn't do that. All she could think about was her hurts and her wounds, and it was destroying her, and it was messing with her big time. So we need to deal with it. If we don't, it'll deal with us. And it was dealing with her viciously. But he had dealt responsibly with it, and he chose to move on. Well, we're exploring the first of five major wounds in life that shapes us. And the first one, of course, is the father wound. And here's the definition. We looked at it last week. It's an ongoing emotional or spiritual deficit ordinarily met in a healthy relationship with dad that must now be overcome by other means. This wound is being inflicted upon sons at epidemic levels today. It is, and we know it, and we see it. You know, fathers are leaving families at record amounts. We looked at the statistics, which were 20 years old, of how many children are growing up in fatherless homes or without their natural born father. Maybe stepfathers, maybe no father. It's huge. And those statistics were 20 years old. Who knows what they are today? I didn't get statistics for today. But it's big. Time magazine writer Lance Morrill. The damage caused by a father's absence may be severe and it may last a lifetime. It's a shadow. The longing of sons for their fathers is almost physical. Something passionate, profound. It is almost mysterious to sons what it is that they want from their fathers. But I've seen it in other men, and I see it in my sons. They're longing for me. You know, there was a time between the Old Testament and New Testament of approximately 400 years where God was silent. The last words, do you remember the last words that God spoke in the Old Testament? He spoke these words in Malachi. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. He's talking about Jesus coming. Lest I, God, come and smite the land with a curse. I want to ask you a question. Is our land being smitten with a curse? It is. What is that curse? What's one of the huge ones? Absent fathers. Well, that's the cause. Do you know what the curse is? Homosexuality. Go to Romans 1, okay? Go to Romans 1 and see what God says about homosexuality. Homosexuality is not just a sin. Homosexuality is a curse. God says, in the last words of the Old Testament, Jesus is coming. His goal is to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. He says, and if it doesn't happen, I will come and smite the earth with a curse. We're looking at fathers, absence of fathers in homes at a record amount. It's epidemic. And guess what's happening? Homosexuality is epidemic as well. It's growing dramatically. It's militant. It's touching. And it's going to touch many lives. We think it's bad now. Just wait. Just watch. Because it's a curse. What does Romans 1 say? It says, God gave them over. They didn't choose. God gave them over. Yes, it is a choice. But it is because fathers have abandoned families. And so we're experiencing the curse, and the curse is homosexuality. Homosexuality is not something that you can fix. It has to be repented of because it's a curse. And the answer to this is to have fathers turning their hearts back to their children, because God says, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Men, we have a huge impact on our children, on our grandchildren. And God says, I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention. If you're a dad, make sure your son or sons have the essentials. Remember what Jesus heard from his daddy? This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Wow, that's an essential. Make sure he hears, I love you. Here we go. Make sure he hears, I love you. You know, fathers need to be firm, of course, and we think of that firmness because we're men. But you know what? Fathers need, their children need to have affection from their fathers. They really do. If you don't hug your children, hug them. Tell them you love them. Make it vocal. Make it verbal. Okay? They need to hear, I'm proud of you. They need to hear admiration. What did God say? This is my beloved son. This is my son. I'm pleased with him. You think your son longs to hear that? Your sons long? Sure they do. Sure they do. Do you long to hear that from your dad? Yeah, we're sitting here this morning, and some of you have had good dads. Some of you have had dads that have told you those kind of things, and you felt it from your dads. There's some of you who go, boy, I don't understand that at all. Don't even comprehend that. I'm not in touch with my dad at all. Never was, never will be. You're good. That's affirmation. You see affection, admiration, and affirmation. Make sure he has a manhood vision. That's what we're developing here. We're going to be talking about this as we move down the road. How we can take our sons on an intentional journey from boyhood to manhood. That's something we're adding this year. But to have a manhood vision and a manhood ceremony that seals it. We're going to have Sam Gingrich again coming in and talking to us about fathers and sons. And last year he explained that ceremony and how he went about it and gave us some suggestions. A code of conduct that you live by. Our sons need to see us living it, and we need to teach them how to live it. We need to give them some positive, direct instruction on how to live lives. What does it mean to be a man? All women are safe in your presence. We stand for what is truth and right. We support and defend those who are downtrodden, those who are weak. We become men, a man after God's heart. To have a transcendent cause, something that is something to live for other than oneself, something that's bigger than life, an eternal goal. Because that's what keeps us going when the going gets tough. Okay? If you're a dad, it's never, never, never too late to close the gap with your sons, no matter how old they are. Listen, men, there's some of you men here that are here today, and your sons never heard from your words, never had a hug from you, never heard your words from you saying, I love you, son. You're a treasure to me. Some of you never said that to your sons. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Make sure your sons hear that. So it's never too late. Don't matter how old they are, don't matter how old you are, you need to tell your son, you know, son, I've sort of blown it as a dad. You've never heard me tell you those words, but I want you to know you're a treasure to me, and I love you, and you're special. When God gave you to me, He gave me a gift. Our children need to hear that. So oftentimes they just felt and heard our correction and our displeasure and our being displeased with them. Our sons need to hear the affirmation. They need to feel the affection. They need to hear the words of approval as well. It's never too late, men. Never too late. If you're a dad separated from your son, physically, for whatever means, or a dad who's never connected or has lost connection emotionally with your sons, well, seek help and a sound strategy. That's what Encourage Men is all about. If you're a son that's wounded by dad, choose to touch this wound responsibly. We'll have to close the gap, and it's up to us as men. There's two ways to respond to this. Number one, choose to forgive dad. Yeah, choose to forgive dad. Sometimes there's no other way. You just simply have to forgive. You have to just cancel the debt. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what forgiveness is all about. Sometimes we just need to cancel the debt. We need to forgive dad. Forgiveness is allowing another father, the Father, the God of the universe, to get involved with this. I've met very few dads that have intentionally tried to do bad. Most of our dads have done so unintentionally. Just recently working with a very difficult situation where dad was harsh, cruel, abusive, and yet when this gal could finally understand that her dad didn't intend to be that way, he just simply was treated that way as a child, and so he in turn treated her that way. It started giving her some compassion instead of anger toward dad. We need to choose to forgive dad. Most of our dads have failed because they didn't or know how to be good dads. Listen, the last thing I want to do is say we've got to be perfect dads. We can't be perfect dads. We're human. We make mistakes all the time. When I look back at all the ways I blew it as a dad, sometimes I just feel like a real failure. But you know, we can go back and we can correct those things. We can ask for forgiveness for. We can apologize for them. We can change things. We can say, son, I really messed up. You know, will you forgive me? I've had to do that, man. I've had to do that. And my son is my friend today. But often, some of the things I see where he's walking that I really get challenged with at times, I see it because of the way I dealt with him. And I've caused some of the problems in his life. And he's doing fine. He really is. Look at what the scriptures say. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. Okay? God disciplines us because He loves us. We also need to do the same. So what if you've had a dad who is evil or knew what he was doing was evil and did it to his family anyway? And some of you have had dads like that, that just have been just intentionally abusive. And there's dads who are just evil. Well, what do you do with that? Well, by choosing to believe in God's justice, God is a God who doesn't close His eyes. He sees and He knows. Look at the following scriptures here. Never take your own revenge. Romans 12, verse 19, beloved. But leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And it continues to say, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. So God will deal with it. If you've had a dad and you can't hardly deal with all the hurt and the pain that he's caused you, just give that to God. Because God, you see, God did not have his eyes closed when all that was going on. He saw, he observed, and he will deal with it. There's another scripture that to me is so powerful. It's Jesus and how he dealt with the hurt and the pain in his life when he was here on earth. 1 Peter 2 is a huge chapter for dealing with hurting and woundedness. And Jesus gives it right here. It says, who, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. He didn't retaliate. But rather, he entrusted it to his Father, who judges all things righteously. God sees everything. And God does not let one thing go undealt with. It's just that it isn't always in our timing. And so we think God didn't see and God doesn't care. God sees, God cares. He will deal with it. The scriptures tell us he will judge everything. If you had a dad who you just can't deal with, just realize God will deal with him. God will deal with him. It is your responsibility to forgive and to let go of it and let God deal with it. There's an interesting scripture that comes right before this where it says, he did this so that we would walk in his footsteps. And then he goes on to say this. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he was suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted it to his Father who judges all things righteously. That's the kind of Father we have, Heavenly Father we have, one whose eyes are open. If you're a son wounded by dad, courageously seek reconciliation with your father. Some of you know David Brubaker, who taught at Encourage Men. He was very instrumental in getting encouragement off the ground. At Wummelsdorf, he taught this lesson, and he shared how he went back and he restored relationship with his dad. He told the story, and it was intense. But he went back, and he started asking his dad if he could take his dad out for breakfast. And so I think it was like once a month or once every 2 weeks, they would go out for breakfast and little by little peel the onion. You know, you peel an onion a layer at a time until you get in to find the good stuff. If you like onions. But anyway, that's what he did. And he found things out. He found things out that helped him understand why his dad was the way he was. And he found out things why he was the way he was. Okay? He restored. He sought reconciliation. And he did a great job of moving into his dad's life in a correct and a right way. Instead of attacking and going after his dad for all the hurt and the pain that was caused, he approached him and said, "Dad, tell me about your growing up. Tell me about your life. If you want to wait, if your dad's still living and you don't know much about it and you're full of hurt and pain, approach him and say, 'Hey, Dad, tell me what it was like growing up. What was your dad like? What was Grandpa like? What was it like in your home? Tell me about life on the farm.' You'll learn a lot. Maybe you'll start understanding why Dad was the way he was. Okay? If you're a son wounded by Dad, courageously seek reconciliation with your father. This is tough stuff, but this is stepping up to our manhood, men. Step up and try to close the gap. We may not be able to reconcile, but it's necessary for us to diligently attempt to do so. There may be separation between you and your dad that springs from dad's relational shortcomings. Don't let that stop you. Don't let that stop you. There may be a separation between you and your dad that springs from past conflict. Maybe you created some of the problems. I know all you guys were good little boys, weren't you, growing up? Yeah. You didn't cause your dad any grief. I can tell by the angelic smiles on your faces. Yeah. Do you ever try and go back and ask Dad for forgiveness for some of the things that you did that caused him a tremendous amount of pain and hurt? That's a good place to start, isn't it? Saying, "Dad, boy, some of the things that I did really had a..." Well, now some of you have teenage sons or maybe older, and you watch them go through it. And then you stop and think and go back and say, "What did I do to my dad?" Yeah, it's there, isn't it? You need to clean it up. People have done things that have hurt him, embarrassed him to your friends, wounded him with words. Ask for forgiveness, men. Ask for forgiveness. I don't care how old he is. I don't care how old you are. It's always, always right to go back and ask for forgiveness and heal relationships. It's always right. We're to have the scriptures tell us, Paul tells us, we're supposed to have the message or the weight of reconciliation. We're to have that reconciliation message. That's what Jesus came to reconcile. We are too, as well. My dad was so wounded, he didn't know how to deal with his pain. When my grandpa died, my father's dead, my father said these words, and this just tells you a little bit about what my dad went through. He says, "Finally, I'm free." That was my dad. He said, "Finally, I'm free," when his dad died. That's huge. That's huge. So I knew my dad was hurting, and now my dad, he's gone. He was killed in a truck accident, and I only wish I could go back and talk with him now that I know so much more. I didn't know back then how to approach him, how to deal with it. Oh, I loved him dearly, and he loved me, but I didn't know how to deal with my dad. I didn't know how to talk to him about some of the hurts that was in his life. I just wish I could have him back and do that. I still talk to him sometimes about that. Sometimes I added to his hurt. I remember some of the things that I did that just hurt my dad deeply. I just wish I could go back and ask him for forgiveness. And there's some things I did get an opportunity to ask him for forgiveness, but boy, if I could do it now, I would do it much more completely and much more different way so I could heal his heart from the hurts that I caused him and added to his pain. My grandfather, I told my story some time ago. In the second or third time we were talking here, my grandfather, I worked for him, and my grandfather was old school, and he didn't watch what was going on in the world around him as far as he did in many ways, but in some ways he didn't. And I just watched him, I saw wages around me going up, and my wage stayed down here. And some of you who work for your fathers, you know that, and you see what's going on. Well, dads, be alert to what's going on around you. Because I saw guys around me working, they were getting so much more money, and we were just barely able to make the payments, and it was getting tough and tight. But you know what I did? Instead of me talking to him about it, I used it as an excuse to steal from him. I worked with him in the shop, and I would just take oil from my car and never pay for it. I'd put gas in my car from the pump there at the shop and never pay for it. And sometimes when he was gone, I would work on my car or fix things when he wasn't around. You know what? I was stealing from him. I was stealing time. I was stealing materials. I was stealing lots of things from him. And I used those low wages as to justify myself. And I remember the time when I really had an experience with God, and I realized how the many things that I had to go back and make restitution for. Man, restitution is a real part of getting close to God. It is. I had to go back and make things right, and that was one of them. I remember approaching my grandpa and saying, "Grandpa, here's what I've been doing for years. It's been taking oil and gas from you, been stealing time from you, been doing this and doing that." And I said, "Grandpa, I need you to forgive me. Can you forgive me for what I've done for you? And I want to pay it back." "Oh, Jason, it's all right. It's okay." "No, Grandpa, I need you to forgive me. Will you forgive me?" "It's okay. It's okay, Jason." So he didn't know how to say forgive. You see, he grew up, his dad died when he was young, and he didn't know how to develop that kind of relationship either. And he didn't know how to respond to this. He didn't know how to respond to this. I said, "Grandpa, I need you to forgive me. I sinned against you." And he didn't even, I don't think he ever got those words out. But finally, I went up to him and I gave him a hug. Well, my grandpa never had affection from another man. Did you ever hug a board? Yeah, your wife when you offended her, right? Well, it was like hugging a board. It was like hugging a board. But I'd like to tell you something, man. After that, Grandpa was coming to me for hugs. He was so starved for love and affection from another man. Probably never had it from his dad. This man who was a board when I hugged him now became somebody who wanted hugs. It's worthwhile. And at the time, I never realized, because I thought, well, man, I never got through to him. Hug an ironing board, you know. But it got through to him. And he did forgive me. And it healed my heart and healed his heart. And it was so worth it. If you're a son wounded by dad, risk asking for your father's love. Ask for your father's love. "Dad, do you love me?" I just long to hear you say those words to me. What if he doesn't? Well, then you have to give that pain to God. If you're a son wounded by dad, risk asking for your father's blessing. There's a handout. Did you men get the handout that was handed out yet? Or was it handed out yet? Okay, here they come. Okay, we're going to give a handout here, and we're going to wrap it up with the handout. But so as they're handing it out, just sort of lay it aside. Don't start looking at it yet. I just listen to what's going on here, and then at the end here, we're going to go over that handout a bit. There was a young man who left the family business. He went to college to become a doctor, and it caused hard feelings in the family because the rest of the family, and dad especially, wanted him to be part of the business, and it caused a rift that just never seemed to go away. After many years, he flew back home to seek restoration and his father's blessings. But after a few days without achieving his goal, he realized, "I don't know what else to do," and so he flew back to where he was and never made reconciliation. But sometime later, he received this letter. "Dear Tom, I love you more than you will ever know. I am so proud of you. Your brilliant mind, your tenacity, your tender and loving heart, your determination to go the second and the third and as many more miles that it will take to have a good marriage, You have a God-like love that never gives up. And Tom, I want you to look into my heart today. Wherever I go in this world, my heart fills with pride when I say, my son is a doctor. He's a surgeon. He helps save lives every day. Tom, I want you to know that I felt pain and hurt in my lifetime. The pain of depression, the pain at one time of having no hope, not even of having any food. The pain of being dropped out from dropping out of high school with seemingly no one to care for me. The pain of going to college with no money, no letters, no help. But the deepest pain I ever felt was when I hurt you with those stupid, foolish words. Oh, how I wept when I think how I've hurt you, my beloved son. And I weep even now as I'm writing this. Please, please erase those words. They're not from my heart. Please forgive from your heart and think of me not only as your daddy, but as your best friend and your supporter. I know you've forgiven me, but I wanted you to hear it from my heart's cry. Only the guilty need mercy. And Tom, I remember when I saw you and held you when you were a little boy in bed one night and you were scared and said, Daddy, are you awake? And I said, yes, Tom, I'm awake. And you said, Daddy, is your face turned toward me? And I said, yes, it is. And a frightened little boy went back to sleep. Tom, I want you to know that my face is still turned toward you, and you will never be, and it will never be turned away. Sleep well, my son, and your old daddy will always love you and help you. You see, sometimes it works. Sometimes it works. Every single one of us would love to get a letter like that from our dad. Every single one of us would love to get a letter like that from our dad. But it might not happen. You can't make your dad do anything. But one thing we can do, we can make it happen with our sons. Men, would you just make a decision right now? It's going to be different with your sons. It's going to be different with my son. Yesterday, I just picked up the phone and I called my son just because I was going over this material. And I thought, you know what? I'm teaching this stuff. I got to practice it too, but I have. We pick up the phone and call him. I just picked up the phone and I said, hey, son, I don't have any reason to call you except to tell you I love you. I just wanted you to know. And you're on my mind. And I care. If you're a son wounded by dad, reclaim the relationship you missed by becoming a good dad to your children. Jay Lockman, do you care if I share your story? It's okay. Last year in small group, Jay's son was in our small group. And as we were talking about this father wound around in our small group, we were all telling our story. And he sat there and he goes, I don't understand. He says, I don't even relate to this. He says, I got the greatest dad in the world. And on the way out, I walked down the steps here and I went out here and Jay's out here. And Jay called me over. He says, that was really tough. And he started telling me a story about his dad. And he had a very difficult time, very difficult dad. And there were tears in his eyes. And I had to say, Jay, do you know what your son just told me? You see, we can change it, man. We can change it. Jay chose not to live a life of defeat and damage because of what his dad did to him. And his dad says, I got the greatest dad in the world. Isn't that awesome? That's victory, man. It can be that way. That's the way it should be. That's how it goes if we deal responsibly with our wounds. I wonder if we would do a survey where you couldn't manipulate the outcome, but rather the graph would be connected to your heart to see how great the wound or how great the need cry of your heart would be. I wonder how high the chart would go. And we can't control that gauge, but we can control the graph that's in the heart of our sons. Part of being an authentic man is learning from our past so that our futures can be different. And this first one of five wounds is probably the most tough and the most difficult. Once healed, it yields a lot of freedom. It yields a lot of freedom. In the next 4 weeks, and not in the next 4 weeks, but in 4 weeks, we're going to be dealing with, we're going to be teaching several lessons on healing, on what to do with this pain, what to do with this hurt. Meanwhile, you have that worksheet, and I'd like to. If you look at that worksheet, it says healing a father wound. Healing a father wound. I'd like to ask you a question. Jesus said, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Remember those words of Jesus? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'd like to ask you a question. When people see you, which Father do they see? Okay? When people see you, which Father do they see? Do they see your dad who hurt and wounded you, and now you're the same kind of person? Or do they see your Heavenly Father? Every so often you've seen a flash up there that says it's difficult to be a father until you first become a son. Okay? It's difficult to become a father until you first become a son. What does that mean? Well, we have to learn what it means to become a son to a perfect Heavenly Father. And in that handout, I'd suggest if you're really hurting, in fact, it'd be good homework for all of you to do. Do it as a Bible study, because you can look up the scriptures, and as you're looking up the scriptures, you don't need to write the scriptures out there, but write the things down that you see our Father is like. Those verses will give you Father qualities. They'll tell you what our Heavenly Father is like. You see, it is difficult to be a father until you first become a son. What does it mean to become a son of God? Well, we become sons when we accept Jesus as our Savior. We accept the penalty for our sins because of what Jesus did for us, because the Father gave His Son. But you know, all those who believe, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God. That word son is technos. That means simply that you've become a son just by birth. Okay? We've gone over this before, but to me this is important. There's two different Greek words for sons in the New Testament. Technos means I'm Lloyd's son just because he and my mom gave birth to me, so I'm a technos. Just a child, a son of my Father. But there's another scripture, another word that's used, and it's weos. Weos. There it means a mature son, because we have taken on the attributes of our Father. When people see me, they say, well, you look just like your dad. Okay? And that's true. I have a lot of the attributes of my dad. I'm built like him. I look like him. My brother, totally different. But I look like my dad. My goal is, I want to look like my Heavenly Father. I want to take on the attributes of my Heavenly Father, just like we take on the attributes of our earthly father. But if our earthly father didn't have good attributes to pass on to us, or we've taken on some wrong ones, we want to have that corrected, and we want the attributes of our Heavenly Father. Weos means you now look like your son. You look like your father. And in Romans 8, somewhere around 14, he says, those who walk in the Spirit instead of in the flesh have become the mature sons of God because they take on the attributes of Heavenly Father. How we see Father God determines how we're able to receive love, security, rest, comfort, provision, healing. You see, how we see Father God determines a lot of those things. If we still have our identity in our earthly father, and maybe we've become believers, but we never transferred our identity to become a true son of God, that's what this worksheet's all about. How we see Father God is usually related to our experience with our earthly father. That's why it's so important to heal from our father wound, because we need to take on the attributes of our Heavenly Father. We need to transfer this. And so how our earthly father experienced, if we've been wounded deeply, we have a tendency to view God that way. As I was going over this with a young mother just the other week, we started going over one of the first verses on that worksheet, and she says, I can't believe it. I have a hard time believing it. I said, well, why not? She goes, well, she says, it says that God is loving and forgiving and kind and compassionate. She says, I've never experienced that. So when I used to tell people, talk about our Heavenly Father, well, guess what? If you had an abusive father, you don't think good about Heavenly Father. You think of him that he's up there, he's just waiting with a stick, and as soon as you get out of line, he's going to whack. Sometimes we talk about our Heavenly Father, and there's people sitting there cringing. I don't want this Heavenly Father, because my earthly father beat the crap out of me. He abused me. He neglected me. He abandoned me. And now we think that Father God's like that too. You see, did Father make promises he could, he would not, or could not keep? Did Father provide a safe, protected environment for you so you could rest? Okay, was your home a place of rest? Was Father compassionate to you when you failed? Or did you get the look? Did you ever give your sons a look? Was Father a strong man who showed affection and provided a safe place in his arms for you? Was Father loving, kind, and gentle toward mother, brothers, sisters? Did Father provide a special place in his heart for you that you knew you would always have a special place in his life? Like that letter Tom got. Way late, but he got it. Did Father discipline you firmly while also communicating his love for you? It's okay to be firm. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. Father should be intensely severe, but intensely good. Totally balanced. Our God is a balanced God. Us fathers need to be balanced too. And when you can discipline your sons severely, if you love them severely at the same time. Did Father spend time playing, nurturing, laughing with you? Was Father there for you when you needed him? You see, if not so, what do you think of your Heavenly Father? But you see this, God intended and intends for fathers to have these characteristics. Because this is the way He is. He loves us unconditionally. He provides protection and safety in His arms. So as you go over this exercise here, regardless if your Father provided for your physical needs, if you did not feel safe, secure, and comforted in His love, you'll probably feel that Father God is afar off. Look at the words of Jesus. For the Father Himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world, and again I leave the world and I go to the Father. And if I go again, I will send the Comforter. You see, God provides comfort. God provides protection. God provides safety in His arms. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We think in our head, don't we? No, but God says what we think in our heart, what we believe about Him is so important. And it's so we can have all this head knowledge. We sat through church for years, but do we believe what He is truly like and His nature in our heart? That's what's going to change us. And that's why this worksheet is there. Okay, the first verse is this one. When you look it up, did you ever learn to pray Scripture? I'd love to teach you how to learn to pray Scripture. This has just become part of my life. And this is what we did. When that woman said, I can't believe this. This is the one she was going over. I said, well, here, would you mind letting me give you some words to pray? And so we started. I said, I gave her the words to pray. I said, dear God, dear Father. And she goes, dear Father, I've had a difficult time because my father didn't treat me well. And so I have a difficult time believing that you're a good and a loving and a kind mercy from God. But here in your word, you're telling me what you're like. Father, thank you for being merciful and gracious. Thank you for being long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. And you know what? She couldn't get through that. She got about that far and she just burst out in tears. Why? Because Father wasn't that way. But now she was starting to see Father God. And here's how I would encourage you. Men, if you have a father wound, as you're going through this, do one verse a day, one verse a week, and pray it into your life. Say, Father God, would you not only let me see this and accept it in my head, but would you transfer it to my heart so I would know you, so that your truth of who you are and your nature and your character would become part of me. It would become part of my heart. Father, would you place the truth of who you are into my being so that I become like you and so that I believe in my heart what you are truly like to displace the way my daddy treated me. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for forgiving my self-centeredness, my iniquity, my transgression, and my sin. Thank you for being that kind of a father. Okay? That will change your life because you're asking God to show you, you're asking God to move it into your heart, and you're thanking Him and you're acknowledging who He really is. Here's a huge one. Isaiah 40, verse 10. This is big, men. Now here you see the sovereign Lord comes with power, His arm rules for Him. See, His reward is with Him, His recompense accompanies Him. You know, that don't sound great, but you know what? Father, thank you that you are a powerful, almighty God that I can trust because your arm never fails. Underneath are your everlasting arms. I can trust you because you are a strong God. You'll never let me down. You always do what is right. But look what comes next. The very next verse. He tends his flock like a shepherd. Camp out in this verse if you're hurting, men. Thank you, Father, for caring for your sheep. You gather the lambs in your arms. You carry them close to your heart. Father, I don't know what it's like to have a daddy pick me up and hold me in his arms. I never did. I never had a daddy hold me. Father, would you pick me up? Would you hold that five-year-old little boy and hold me in your arms and let me lay my head against your chest and hear your heartbeat? Verse 10, chapter 40 of Isaiah. Pray it into your heart. Pray it into your life. And it brings healing unbelievable because Father God now is addressing a heart wound from a missing dad or a hurtful or a woundful dad. He gently leads those who have young. Father, thank you for being a gentle shepherd who picks up the lambs when they just are struggling along. They can hardly walk anymore. But you carry them and you hold them next to your heart. One of the verses that has become so powerful to me is this. Paul says in Corinthians, he says, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. What does it mean to be a daddy? You'll pick your little ones up. You'll pick your grandchildren up. I picked Cammy up. You saw pictures of Cammy, and he went through 2 years of chemo, and sometimes my heart just breaks with him. But I'll pick him up, and I'll hold him, and I'll say, Cammy, I want you to know something. You don't ever, 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 ever have to wonder whether Grandpa loves you. I'll always love you, and I'll always accept you. It's a delight that you're my grandson. Father God, there's people here, there's men here who've been hurt deeply by their dads. And they need to be picked up and held by you. Father God, would you hold the hurting close to your heart? Would you place into their hearts and their minds the truth of your very nature and your character so they see what a real, perfect God Father is like? So you can become truly a son of this Father, then you can become the Father God intended you to be. Blessings.